Okay, today's daf is about Basra daf pei vav. We left off on daf pei hei amid beis. We're three lines from the bottom of daf pei hei amid beis. The Gemara is discussing kelev shalokeach rishus mocher, right? If a person has a buyer, has his own kelim, and he goes into the rishus of the mocher, now assuming no other kinyan has been done, that the lokeach didn't actually pick anything up to do a kinyan hagba, nor has he given money to do a kinyan kesef, nor has he done anything else. It's just that the item ends up in the kli of the lokeach. Is that enough to be kona? Let's say the mocher puts it into the kli of the lokeach. Is that enough to be kona? Kelev shalokeach rishus. It's hard to come up with an example of that. Usually, when you go to a store, even if you bring your own bag, and not so many people do that, but even if you bring your own bag to buy something from the store, you would pick something up to put it in the bag. You would do something. So it's normally doesn't come up, but let's say if like the example I gave yesterday, one of the local flower stores, you could go bring your vase and they'll go fill it up for you. So you just bring it, you leave it there, and they start filling it for you. So they're putting something into your kli. So is that itself a kinyan? So what's the svara to say yes? What's the svara to say no? So I don't recall if we read yesterday, but the Rashbam at the top of the page on Peheim Beis in the third or fourth skinny line. And the svara to say that yes, he is kona is very obvious svara, but it's in his rishus, meaning the kli is his rishus, so it's ki'ilu, you put it directly into his rishus. Alo kona, the rishus ikr v'akli batal gabei rishus. Or maybe he's not kona, why? So this is what Rashbam says, because the rishus, meaning the area that you're in, that's the ikr, the kli is batal to the rishus. So the kli is considered insignificant in the greater context of the rishus that you're in. So since you're in the rishus of the mocher, your kli is not considered anything of significance, and therefore you're not going to be caught. And that's how the Rashbam is going to read through all the rayas, whether it's bittel, whether the kli is batel, legabe, the rest of the rishus. Now, Tosfos seems to understand a little bit differently. Tosfos, in the top Tosfos, writes in the second skinny line, avol mocher shema mashil lo makom lokeach sheyikne mashu mocher lo. That maybe the mocher is lending you his rishus so that you can be for the sake of the kinyan. I mean, he tells us, it seems, is assuming as a default that the kelim really shouldn't be anything because you don't have. I mean, the whole point is that you don't have. The reason that kelim shalokeach rishus mocher shouldn't work is who gave you the right to put the kelim down there? You have no right to put the kelim in someone else's rishus, and then it's sad to say that it does work. Is that you do have the right because he allows it. I mean, even if he doesn't say directly, we assume that he allows it. We assume that he's okay with the fact that you're going to use his rishus. That's the tut studim according to Tosos. So I noticed before I came today the Biurei Adaf in this Biurei Adaf quotes the Granat from Naftali Trapp. That explains the suffix a little bit differently. He says, or I guess expounds on the suffix a little bit more. Rav Tali Trapp writes in the Granat, Yisoda suffix hu, im nasan ha-mocher lokeach rak zuchus ishtamshus b'chatzer? Do we say that the mocher gives the lokeach the right to use the chatzer? Aval eino mashi l'maknon lo guf ha-chatzer linyin zeh? But he's not actually making him a bailim on the chatzer. He's not actually giving him rights to the chatzer other than the right to use it. He's not making him a bailim on the chatzer. V'imkein lo yikna lokeach. And if that's the case, then lokeach won't be kona. L'fi shechatzer shal mocher mevatel rishus lokeach. Because like the Rashbam said, the overall rishus of the mocher is going to be mevatel this little kli of the lokeach that's in the rishus. Or maybe, no, you say the other side. Maybe, mashelo ha-mocher zuchus beguf ha-chatzer. For sure he's letting him do something. Question is he letting him use the chatzer? Or no, maybe more. Maybe he's giving him the guf ha-chatzer. He's allowing him to have the chatzer for the sake of making kinyanim. So if he's giving him the guf ha-chatzer, then you would say kona lokeach. Then the lokeach is going to be kona with his kelim in the rishus ha-mocher. So we might have community that we formulated in this way. So the Granat says, what about the following case? What if you have a case where it's not kelev shalokeach b'rishus mocher, but kelev shalokeach b'rishus acherim? It's not in the rishus of the mocher. Is it dafka the rishus of the mocher? Or it's kelev shalokeach in some third party's rishus? So then there's also room for a suffix. Do we assume that this acher gives him rishus for usage of the chatzer, but he's not makne the guf ha-chatzer, and the lokeach won't be kona anything, or maybe he's makne him the guf ha-chatzer, meaning it's not about the mocher doing a hakna'a of the item together with the chatzer. It's just about when someone lets you put your basket down in their chatzer, what are they giving you? Are they giving you the right to put your basket down in their chatzer, or are they making it your chatzer legabe putting a basket down? Right? That's what it's going to turn out to be. That's what the suffix really is. And mela, it doesn't have to be the rishus of the mocher. It could be anybody's rishus. If he's giving you the right, if he's giving you ownership over that area of the chatzer where your basket is, you could be kona. It doesn't have to be the rishus of the mocher. Also, he says, what about lehepach? What about if you have the other way? Kelev shel ish acher b'rishus lokeach. What if it's in the rishus of lokeach and it's someone else's kli in the rishus of lokeach? Now, when the lokeach gives this someone else the right to put the item down, the basket down in his rishus, does he want to be and he wants to be use these kelim to acquire the peros of the mocher? If you say that the lokeach is makna the guf hachotzer, so then the lokeach would no longer be able to use some third party's kelim that are in his chotzer to be kona the items from the mocher, because he doesn't own that area of the chotzer anymore. But if you're going to say that, no, all he does is he lets you use the chatzer, but he still retains ownership of the chatzer, so then like we said, like the Rashbam says, for sure the kli in my chatzer is going to be batel legabe the chatzer, and therefore I'm going to be able to be konit if it's kelev shel acher b'rishos lokech. So those are the nafkaminas in the way to understand, the way to formulate this suffix. So yesterday we brought two rayos to try to be poshet, whether kelev shel lokech b'rishos mocher works or does not work. We're now going to bring raya number three, Tashema, three lines from the bottom of the page, Peheim Bey. Says Gemara Tashema, Masha Chamarav Upa'alav V'ichnisan L'toch Pesel. Let's say you have a donkey or a worker that's carrying items. I want to be kona those items. What do? I take the chamar and I bring it into my house. I take the person, I'm moshing him into my house. Bein pasak at shalomadad, whether we set a price but never actually measured out if this is the right amount of items that we're looking to buy, ubein madad at shalopasak, or the other way, we measured it out but we never set an exact price, shnei nichol naksabahen, nothing is done yet. They're both allowed to be chozer. What do you mean they're both allowed to be chozer? What about kinyan mashicha? Didn't I pull all the items? The items are on the guy's back, and I pulled the guy. The items are on the chamar's back. I pulled the chamar. Where's the kinyan mashicha over here? So says Rashbam, no, there's no mashicha. V'hach mashicha lav mashicha hi liknos, she'a adam hu moshech. U'mashichas adam ta'un peros, lo mahanya liknos as a peros. I'm not pulling the peros. I'm pulling the person holding the peros. And since I'm pulling the person holding the peros, that's not considered a mashicha on the peros themselves. Right? A mashicha has to be on the item itself. Ad shim shocha peros atzman. You need to do the mashicha on the peros themselves. So if you're modded and not posek, or posek and not modded, either way, it's not going to work. The assumption is, if they want to change their mind, either one wants to renege on the deal, no problem. Even though at the time of the medida, it's sitting there in the lokeach's rishus, ubekelev de lokeach, and in the lokeach's kelim, the lokanya rishuso kodem pisuk. Because the lokeach's rishus is never going to be kona anything before you set a price. And says Rosh Bama Chiddush, even if you do Mashicha but you never set a price, it's not going to work. And the Gemara is going to explain this in a few lines on Pevav and Aleph, that there's no smichus das until they set a price. Right? A guy is looking at something and, oh, it looks great. Yeah, this is exactly what I'm looking for. Oh, and I'm looking to sell it. It's fantastic. Oh, by the way, how much does this cost? No. What? Because that deal is off, right? So there's no certainty whatsoever. There's no sort of smichus das whatsoever until the price is determined. So therefore, you're always going to be able to go back. Says the Brice of Vayter, Pirkan v'echnisan l'toch beisav. Let's say you unloaded the donkey, or you unloaded the person that's holding these kalim, and then these peros, rather, and then you bring the peros l'toch beisav. So if they set a price, but they still haven't measured it out exactly, so they cannot be chozer. Neither one can be chozer. The deal is done. But if they measure it out, and they have not yet set a price, then they both are able to go back on the deal. but wait a second, how do you unload an animal? How do you unload a person? So the animal doesn't have, you don't just balance apples on the animal's back, right? You don't just put peros on the animal's back. Obviously the peros are in bags or boxes or something, and you put the bags or boxes on the animal's back. So you're unloading bags. You're not unloading apples, you're unloading bags full of apples. And what are we saying over here? That you're unloading these bags, you put them down in your rishus, as long as you set a price, the deal is done. So wait a second, whose bags are those? So probably the bags belong to the mocher, to the guy who's selling it to. He's the one that put the bags on his animal's back. So those bags, mistama, belong to the mocher. And we see that the kelim of the mocher in the rishus of the lokech are not kone. What does it mean, not kone? The mocher owned it already. I mean, the kelim of the mocher rishus lokech are not kone. So this is why we had to read that Rashbam before. The Rashbam understands the whole suffix of kelim shel lokech rishus mocher is when you have a kli belonging to person A in person B's property, do you assume the kli is batel to the property, or do you not assume the kli is batel to the property? So over here, what do you have? You have the kelim of the mocher that were taken off of the animal, put down in the lokeach's property. So it's the reverse of what we've been thinking until now. But is that enough for the lokeach to be kona? Meaning, do we assume the kli is batel to the property, and the property is the ikker, and therefore the lokeach is kona, or do we assume that the lokeach is not kona? So if you see the Rashbam, when we declare shel mocher b'rishus lokeach lo kona mocher, the mocher is not kona. It doesn't mean he's not kona. He's trying to be makan over here. He's not trying to be kona. He already owns it. Kolomar she'ein kelev shel mocher ma'akev al rishus halokeach l'knosan. The key is, what it really means is that the kelim of the mocher don't hold back the lokeach from being kona. L'knosan halokeach, the kani pirkan upasa kana, the kana rishus lokeach kode medida. So you see, even though the peros are still in the bags of the mocher, the lokeach is able to be kona. Why? Because those bags are in the lokeach's property. Ah, so you see that the bags mean nothing. That since the bags are in somebody else's property, I don't care who the bags belong to, the bags mean nothing, they're part of the larger property. So if the rishus of the lokeach is going to help to mivatal the kelim of the mocher and to remove them from the rishus of the mocher, kol shekein v'kol shekein kelim of the lokeach nami b'rishus mocher yivatal rishus as a kli shel lokeach. So that's the Gemara's point. And for sure, kal v'chomer, the kelim of the lokeach in the rishus of the mocher, the rishus of the mocher is going to be dominant, the kelim of the lokeach are going to be insignificant, and therefore the lokeach is not going to be able to be kona in his kelim in the rishus mocher. So that's what the Gemara says. Back in the Gemara, so meet the kelim of the mocher rishus lokeach lo kona, kelim of the lokeach nami rishus mocher lo kona. So that's our raya, that kelim of the lokeach in the rishus of the mocher should not work to be kona. It shouldn't be a valid form of kinyan. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, no, who says we're talking about the kelim of the mocher in that case? Who says when you unload the animal, you took bags full of fruits off the back of the animal? No, maybe Bisha Shavchan. Maybe you took bags off the animal and turned them upside down and poured out all the fruits on the ground. So that's why you were kona in that case. You actually poured the fruits directly into the sada of the lokeach, and they weren't in kelim shel mocher at the time. So that's not a raya at all. So ikbid Rava. Now Rava, Rashbam points out, who's the one who really brought this proof in the first place. So he got all upset, right? Right, Amar Rava. We actually started two words late today. I started with Tashema. I should have started from Amar Rava. Rava's the one that said Tashema. Those are important words, right? That's why Rava got upset. Rava says, "What are you're trying to tell me? My raya is worthless. That the case isn't talking about Kelev Shel Mocher." So Rava got upset that they tried to reject his raya. He says, "Midi Shavchan Katani." He says, "I realized that you could have answered that, but then I looked at the words. It never says that they spilled it out." Pirkan katani, all it says is that they unloaded it. Pashtus, when it says unload, it means that you remove it from the animal's back. It doesn't mean anything beyond that. So how do you remove it from the animal's back? There's no way it's on the animal's back, just as fruits, not in bags. Obviously, it's in bags on the animal's back, and it never says you pour it out of the bags, so it must be that it's still in the bags. So says the Gemara, who says that it's in bags on the animal's back? We're thinking of peros. Rava, you're thinking of peros. You're thinking of apples and oranges. Apples, I don't know if he was actually thinking of apples, but you're thinking of peros that need to be in bags. Ella Amar Marbar Avashi, Bimisachli Tutumi. No, we're talking about bundles of garlic. that you could just pile them up directly on the back of the animal. So they're not in bags at all. They're just piled directly on the back of the animal. And that, when you remove from the back of the animal, you put it in the chatzar, so there's nothing being masik between the chatzar and those bundles, those things that you're removing from the back of the animal. So that's why it's not a raya at all. Fine. Amalei hunabrei demarzutra l'ravina michti. Pirkan katani, mali pasak, mali lo pasak. Now the Gemara just tries to clarify. Rashbam already foreshadowed exactly what the answer to this question is, but the Gemara just spells it out for us now. It said before pirkan, that you unload the animal, right? So we said, if you unload the animal, it depends whether you set a price or not. If you set a price already, then we assume that it's going to be a valid kinyan. If you didn't set a price, even though you unloaded the animal and you have all the items in your chatzar, it's not a good kinyan. So why should that make a difference? Once the items are off the animal, in my chatzer, I remove them, I put them in my chatzer, what's the problem? So I'm like, pasak sam chadayte, lo pasak lo sam chadayte. So no, the chiluk is obvious, that when you set a price, like we said before, there's a smichus das, that I know how much this costs, and I feel like the deal is going to go through.
What was the havanya that it should take effect before they actually set a price?
Because you did an active form of kinyan. I express interest in buying, you express interest in selling. I did a form of kinyan, it's in my rishos, so why should a form of kinyan not work?
Because the kinyan's not based on anything, they haven't made an agreement yet.
Right, so that's the answer. Yeah, it's hard to understand the havmina.
Yeah, it's like not a chiddush almost.
Right.
Just going back to it.
Just saying, okay. Yeah, it's hard to understand the havmina, I'm not sure. Amalei Ravina Ravashi. So Ravina says, Ravashi, Tashma, let's bring another raya. The Rav and Shmuel Damri Travayu, Kelim Shalom Konen Lo B'Kol Makom. Rav and Shmuel both say that a person's Kelim can always be Konen from anywhere. Now, anywhere, what does that mean? Lasui Yemai. Lav Lasui Rishus Mocher. So here's raya number four, that Kelim Shalokech Rishus Mocher, about Kelim Shalokech Rishus Mocher, it's trying to bring a raya that it does work. Kel Shalokech Rishus Mocher is Konen, because Rav and Shmuel both say, now, this is an interesting raya, because it's a raya from Rav and Shmuel. Right? Meaning, we have a safek about what the rule is. Normally, when the Gemara brings up a safek, it's going to look for a raya from Tanayim. Right? So that's probably why it's last, because once we strike out on Tanayim, so we need to bring a raya from Rav and Shmuel, just to find out what the halach is, what we hold. So Rav and Shmuel Amri Tavayu, so that's got to be meaningful also. So,
Doesn't Rav like consider himself Tana?
Rav considers himself the Tana, yeah, but it doesn't seem that anyone else considered him the Tana, meaning that the other Amoraim considered him the Tana. They were happy to argue on him. And rightfully so, they were in the same generation. Shmuel was in the same generation as Rav. When we say considers himself the Tana in general, it's not like a gaiva thing. It was a chiddush at the time to say that we're no longer going to argue on Tanayim. Like, why would they do that? Why would they stop arguing on if they thought that someone else was wrong? That was always the way. If you thought someone else was wrong, you argue with them. So they were mechadish, the Amoraim were mechadish this concept that it just didn't make it wasn't that they were not allowed to, there was no rule ever set in stone that you're not allowed to argue on a Tana. Amoraim is allowed to argue on a Tana. It's just that they realized that if we spend our time arguing on Tanaim, when we don't understand what they say, most of the time we're going to be exploring dead ends. Because most of the time, the Tanaim knew what they were talking about. We assume this concept of Yudas Hadaros, they're much greater than us. And therefore, our time is much better spent, much more effectively spent, trying to figure out what they said than trying to argue on them. So they were all makabel on themselves not to to focus their energies and their attention toward understanding Tanaim. Rav wasn't makabel, he's from the early generations of Amoraim. He said, no, I'm not ready for that yet. I still think I might have something to add. And he was sometimes cholik on Tanaim. But I don't think that we bring a raya from Rav and Shmuel because Rav Tanahu Palik. I think it's just we ran out of Tanaim, and therefore we're gonna bring a raya from Rav. Because generally Rav is not considered a Tana by anyone other than the fact that he allows himself to argue on Tanaim. Because you don't find Shmuel Tanahu Palik. Shmuel never did it. He was a Makabal on himself not to argue on Tanaim. It's a big question in later generations also. Who's to say that we can't argue on the Gemara? And who's to say that Achronim can't argue on Rishonim? And how strong are these lines cut? There's a famous cut of Mishnah about this. Whatever, it's an interesting discussion. It seems that the line between Gemara and post-Gemara is a much stronger line than, let's say, the line between Rishonim and Achronim. Now, Achronim, you have Shagas Aryeh, every Shagas Aryeh argues on Rishonim. You read not so much a Shagas Aryeh, in Turi Evan, every Turi Evan starts with this is Gevurah Ari, his Svarim and Shas. This is what Rashi says, this is what Tosfos says, this is what they mean, this is why they don't like each other, this is why I don't like either one of them, and this is what I have to say. Like every single passage he has is arguing on Rishonim. But yeah, it's interesting. So anyway, so the Gemara says, but don't you see if Rav and Shmuel are both going to say that Kelev Shalad Demar Konelo Bekol Makom doesn't Bekol Makom sounds like a very strong statement. So doesn't that mean even the Rishus Mocher the Kelev are going to be Kone? So he said no. Hasan Damal Zil Kni. Now that's in a case where you said to the guy, go and be Kone. When you say, go and be, when the mocher says, zil kni, then it can even work brishus mocher. But short of the mocher saying, zil kni, then it's not going to work. Just the fact that he lets you keep your stuff there is not enough for to affect the kinyan. The Rush writes that once he says, zil kni, it makes it like the rishus of the lokeach, meaning the mocher is telling you, I want this to be your rishus. He's makne his rishus, legabe the fact that the lokeach should be able to use his kelim in that rishus to be kone. And then the Rush says, but wait a second, if that's the case, then what's the chiddush of Rav and Shmuel? That if the whole idea of Rav and Shmuel, that the kelim shel lokeach works, is only when he says zil kni. And zil kni means, okay, my property is your property now. If that's the whole chiddush, then what's the chiddush? Of course, if I gave you my property, it's going to work. So says the Rosh Hashanah, the chiddush is that it's going to work even though normally, if I want to give you my property, so kesef shtar chazaka, I need to do some sort of kinyan. I need to be makna of my property to you. If you're going to be the owner of my property in order to be kona something, so there needs to be some form of kinyan. You didn't do any kinyan on this property. All I said is dibur bi'alma zil kni. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Shmuel. Even with such a statement of zil kni, that would be good enough. Good. Again, the Birei Adaf of here, he quotes that the Torah says in the name of the Ramah, Resh Mem Hei, Ramah, that it's Dafka where he says zil kni, that the Kelev Shalokeach is going to be Konan the Rishus Mocher, because that's where he shows that he's allowing him to have that Rishus to use for a kinyan. But if he doesn't say zil kni, even if he gives him Rishus, meaning the Lokeach says, can I leave my basket here? And he says, yes. So is that going to be good enough? Is zil kni like magic words? You need to say, go and be kona. Or is it just good enough? Ah, I let you leave it here. So says the Torah in the name of the Ramah, you have to say zil kni. It's dafk if you say those words. Just saying, yeah, don't worry, you can keep the basket there. That's not good enough. So says the Bach, what caused the Ramah to make such a chilek? Because he was bothered by what Rav Huna was mesubuk about by Kelev Shalokech Bereshus Mocher, whether it's Kona or not. The Gemara says, Beferish Kelev Shalokech Bereshus HaRabim is Lo Kona. Why? Because you don't have the right to put your Kelim down in a Rishus HaRabim. So in the Rishus Mocher also, you don't have Rishus to put your Kelim down. So what's the Safek? Right? Meaning, the whole reason Kelev Shalokech is not Kona Rishus HaRabim in the middle of a public street is because I'm not allowed to put my Kelim down in Rishus HaRabim. That's what we call a barber Rishus HaRabim. If I put my Kelim down in Rishus HaRabim, I have no right to put my Kelim down in Rishus HaRabim. So that's why I'm not Kona. Well, I'm not allowed to go put my Kelim down on someone else's property either. So what's the Gemara Safek? So says the Bach, it must be that the Gemara Safek was in a case where the Mocher allowed you to put it down. You had Rishus. But the Gemara says that there's no suffix when he says zil kni. When he says, yeah, go, be kona, put your kelim down. To be kona, there's no suffix. Everyone would agree that it is kona. So what's the case of the suffix? So he says, ah, that's where the Ramah gets the idea that you have to be mechalik between zil kni and yes, you can keep your baskets here. Yes, you can keep your baskets here means you have rishus to put it here. And therefore, it's not that you're here without Rishus, and therefore not Kona. No, you have Rishus to keep it here, but I never gave instructions, go and be Kona. So if I never gave instructions, go and be Kona, that's why it's going to be a suffix. That's the whole suffix of the Gemara. That's the Chiddush of the Ramah. Good, says the Gemara, weiter. Yeah. Yeah, Pashas, if they didn't do it right. What do you mean? They did what Kenyan?
He did like a Mashiach or something into the Rishus. Then afterwards they agreed on a price.
Right. So again, if it's... It could be... You need another Kenyan. The question is, you might have a Kenyan already. Meaning, as soon as they agree on a price, it could be in a Rishus. If it's in the Rishus of the Lokeach, in the Kelev Shel Lokeach or whatever, or in his Chatzar, so he's called with Kenyan Chatzar. Right? It could be that he doesn't need to do any further act of kinyan because his chatzer shalom is kind of low. Right? Midinyan or whatever. Chazim shmiyan is about whatever. So maybe you didn't, right. Then you would not have needed it in that case, because I mean it would not have done anything for you if you hadn't agreed on the price yet. Absolutely. Okay. So says Maratanan Hasam, Nechashim Sheishem Machayes Niktim Bekesef Shtar Bechazaka. In order to acquire karka, you need to use one of the three forms of kinyanim, Kesef Shtar Chazaka. V'Shein Len Achrayes Niknel B'Meshicha. If you have Nechashim Shein Len Achrayes Metaltalin, the only way to be counted is through Meshicha. In Surah, they said the following statement in the name of Rav Chisda, and Pumadisa, they either said in the name of Rav Kana or in the name of Rava. The Gemara always tries to make sure that we have every name down exactly perfectly. They never say, it says in Chazal. You know, that's a modern thing that the Gemara tries to always quote exactly who says things. Lo shanu el dvarim shein darkan la'agbiya. Al dvarim shein darkan la'agbiya, b'hagba in b'mashicha lo. Phenomenal idea that the only way that we're going to say that Mashiach is Kona is when it's not the derech to be Magbiah the item. But something that's the derech to be Magbiah, to lift up, then it can only be Kona Nikna Bahagba, cannot be Nikna B'Mashiach. Fractosos, Vahadaparach Misha Meis, Gabi Melugad Shtari, Vahalo Mashach. The Gemara talks about a case of Meluga Dishtari, a bundle of shtaros. And the Gemara says, when were you Kone? You never did a Meshicha. How do you, what's the normal thing to do with a pack of shtaros? You pick it up. It's Agbah, it's not Meshicha. So why does the Gemara say, Lo Mashach? So V'docha, Klomer, Shoye, Kolka, Harbe, Shtaros, Shlohe, Darkan, Lagbia. And it's hard to imagine a pile of shtaros that's so big that you can't even lift it up, that you would have to drag it along the ground. So that can't be. I love dafka nakan mashach al kolomar v'lo igbia. So you have to say mashach igbia. It's all the same. Meaning the point is, you aren't machnasing into your rishus through a form of kinyan. Meaning hagba and mashiach are both a form of kinyan that's hachnasal rishus. Though it's over the broader category of being machnas something into your rishus. So that's what it's saying. It's not saying alom mashach. It's saying but you weren't machnas into your rishus. Obviously, that's certainly not the. It's certainly a little bit dochak, but you have to say something, because the Gemara says if it's derech lagbia, then you're unable to be kona b'mashicha. The Rashbam, what about if you have something that's a bar mashicha, and it's normal to do mashicha, and you manage to pick it up, you manage to do agba? Would hagba work on something like that? Can you do agba on something? Or do we say that just like mashicha doesn't work on something that's a bar agba, so Hagbah won't work on something that's Bar Mashiach, or do you say no? Hagbah is like a super kinyan. Hagbah doesn't even have to be the derech. It's just always going to work because that's the ultimate haknas al rishuso is picking it up. So the Rashbam at the bottom over here says that something that's a Bar Mashiach is nikna afilu b'mashicha. But Hagbah is adif. The Rashbam all the way at the bottom of the page. Tulsus over here somewhere says that, that Hagbah is going to work even where it's the derech to do Mashicha. It's not agreed upon by everybody. The Rishonim quote Ravid that say not that way. The Rishonim quote Ravid that say that Hagbah is for things that are derech lagbia, Mashicha is for things that are derech l'mshach. Ah, beautiful. Okay, excellent. Says the Gemara, Yes, Abai v'kamen l'hashmaita, Eisvei Ravad bar Masna l'Abai, Yisvei Ravad bar Masna asks on Abaye, meaning again, we just said that anything that's a derech lagbia, you can't do Mashicha, Hagonif kis b'Shabbos chayv, shekvar n'schayv, b'gnei v'kot m'shav l'day yisr Shabbos. Right, if anyone learned Ksubis, this is the famous Gemara in Ksubis, and Shabbos also, but Yeshivas learn Ksubis, so everyone knows it from Ksubis, not from Shabbos. So anyway, the Gemara tells us if you're gonev kis b'Shabbos, if you steal a wallet on Shabbos, you're chayiv because you were neschayiv b'gnev before you were bali deyes for Shabbos. You're chayiv for stealing before you did the malach of hotza'ah on Shabbos. Meaning this is the sugya of Kam Levid Rabbi Mineh. It's what the entire third prayer of Ksubis is all about. The sugya of Kam Levid Rabbi Mineh. You do two separate isurim that have different levels of punishment. So sometimes you're going to say you're only going to be chayiv the greater punishment Because you did two Isurim with one act, so the greater punishment exempts from the lesser punishment. So in this case, you're going to kiss for Shabbos, you did something that's your chayv mamon for, Geneva, and something that you chayv misa for, Hotzah and Shabbos. So are you going to be chayv in the Geneva or pater in the Geneva? So we say you're chayv in the Geneva because the Geneva happened before the Isur Shabbos happened. Right? You picked up the wallet before you walked out with it. Hayimagar v'yotze magar v'yotze, but if you drag the wallet out, Pater, Shari Yisra Shabbos Geneva, Ban Kechad. Then you're Pater, because the Geneva didn't happen when you start dragging it in the Rishus. You break into someone's house and you start dragging his wallet out along the floor. So you're Pater, you're going to be Pater on the Geneva because you hadn't stolen it until you pulled it out of his house. Because there's no Kinyan before you pulled it out of his house. To be Moshech within somebody else's house isn't going to work. It's only once you were Moshech it out into the Rishus, outside of his house, that you're going to be Kona. So since the Kinyan Shabbos, and the Kinyan Geneva rather, and the Isser Shabbos happened at the same exact time, you're going to be Patra on the Geneva. But wait a second, what are you stealing here? You're stealing a wallet. And what do we say is the Kinyan that you're doing? You're being Moshech. So here you have a wallet. It's a baragba, and nevertheless, you're able to be kona b'mishicha. Unbelievable. So says Gemara, no, amalei b'misna. The Gemara says, no, we're dealing with a wallet that has a strap to it. So the Rashbam explains that at this point we think that we're still talking about a tiny little wallet. It just has a little strap at the end. So the Gemara says, ananami b'misna kamina. Okay, we're not asking about wallet styles. That's nice that it has a strap to it. How does that affect our conversation at all? Meaning it's still something that's derech lagbia, and you were moshech. Why should it be a good kinyan? Amalei says, no, b'midi d'bayim misna. No, I mean something that needs a strap in order to pull it, because it's such a heavy wallet. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about a regular wallet. It's talking about this huge bag that has a strap, so you can pull it by the strap. That's all. That's what we really mean. Right? That's how the Rashbam understands the shakla v'tari over here, the back and forth, that the Gemara first just assumed that... The Gemara first assumed that Misna just meant, it had a strap on this tiny little wallet. Says Tosos, Vakista Barak Bahu, Lo Parak Lahai Mishna de Mishani Breshe Lenaris. For those of the Ksubas, it says over there, according to one Shita, Kishet Sirif Yadal Lamata Migimel the Kibla, the Lo Kana Mitam Mashicha Lamitam Chatzer, the Yado Kichatzero, that the case is where you stuck your hand within three tefachim of the ground, and then you knock it into that hand within three tefachim of the ground, where you're not kona midin meshicha, rather midin chatzer, because his yad is like his chatzer. But it's not hagbah either, because he didn't lift it up. The whole kasha of the Gemara over here is only if you assume that the kinyan was a kinyan meshicha, not if the kinyan was a kinyan chatzer, because our whole issue over here is whether Meshicha is going to work when it's a midi de baragba. Chatzar for sure works on something that's a baragba, on something that's able to be lifted. So that's just to be mevar. It also says, if you ever learn Ksubis, you're going to wonder what our question is. No, it's our question is only within one daya of the Gemara and Ksubis. V'im tomar v'heichi salka daitach t'mayri b'kis de baragba hu im kein heichi mechayiv linin Shabbos. Hain derech chotzah b'kach t'diyak b'reish elinaros. He says, how could we have ever had a havamina that we're talking about a regular wallet, a small wallet that you just lift up? That's not the derech hotza'a to carry out a regular wallet by dragging it. And if it's not the derech hotza'a, you're not chayiv. In general, when things are not the derech to do, and especially by Shabbos, but even by other halachas, that Gleital, in his psicha, that Gleital has two things. He has akdama and a psicha. The Hakdama is where he says a nice vart about Torah Lishma, whatever. It's a beautiful Hakdama. The Psicha, where he actually starts talking about Hilchos Shabbos, in Oz Gimel, I think it is, of his Psicha, he talks about things that are not the normal way. Lo Kederach. And he shows that the idea of lo kedarko is not only din in Hilchos Shabbos; it comes up all over the place. But over here we're saying even midinei Hilchos Shabbos chotzah, if it's not the derech chotzah, then you wouldn't be chayiv mishum Shabbos either. So he says v'yesh lomar diyesh dvarim she derech chotzah bekach linyan Shabbos v'afilu hachilin kinyan ein niknel ba'agba she darkan lagbia. There are certain things that legabe Shabbos the qualifications of what's called derech are different for Shabbos than they are for kinyan. So it could be something that's darko lahagbia in terms of kinyan, but in terms of how strange is it to be motzi at mirushus lirushus without being magbia, it wouldn't be considered strange enough to be ein darko bekach Legabe Shabbos. That's a chiddush of Tosfos. That they have two different ways of measuring what's considered the derech and what's not considered the derech. Inami b'megar derech machteret aviotza. Inami avle l'me. Okay, havi l'meimer l'tamech. We could have asked anyway, but the first one is the most yisodistic of the three answers of Tosfos. Says in Marvaiter, Tashma. Just a note. Rav Shechter in his sefer Ginas Egel Simon Mem Hey discusses the difference between Meshicha versus Hagbah. And he points out that the chiluk between Meshicha and Hagbah is that the Koach Haknoya, who b'masha hayisham a Maisa Meshicha. When it comes to Meshicha, the ikur of the Meshicha is doing a Maisa Meshicha. So that you need a Maisa Kedarko. That's why Meshicha needs to be done Kedarko, because there's no Koach in the Maisa that's done Shalok Kedarko. I mean, the point is that the act of Meshicha is what makes the Kinyan. So if the act of Meshicha is Shalok Kederech, then it's not going to work. But when it comes to Hagbah, the Maisa is only done in order to be machnis the item into your Rishus. Once it's in your Rishus, it's the fact that it's in your Rishus that's the Kinyan. The Maisa is not showing, it's not the act of doing the lifting that makes the Kinyan. It's that once I lift it, it's now in my Rishus, and being in my Rishus is the Kinyan. And this is how he explains what we saw before, that the Rashbam says Hagbah is a super Kinyan. Even if it's a derech to do Meshicha, but you do a Hagbah, it's going to work anyway. Why? Why is it going to work anyway? So he says, no, that's the Vart. Because when you do Hagbah, then it shows it's already in your Rishus. It doesn't matter whether it was Darko Bekach, not Darko Bekach. But by Meshicha, it's the act of doing Meshicha. So if it's ain't Darko Bekach to do the Meshicha, so then it's not going to work. That's the Chiluk, that's how he explains the Chiluk that the Rashbam makes. Tashma says, Marvaiter, Raya. Rishus Mocha, Lokana, Achigbian, Achiyatsian, Mirishuso. In the Rishus Mocha, you're not Kona until you do a Hagbah, or take it out of the Rishus Mocha. Alma, Midi Dibar Hagbah, don't you see from there that something that's able to be nikna bagba, we still give it two options. We say achiag biyena, you can lift it, or be moti it from his rishus. Doesn't that mean mashicha? So you see that even mashicha is going to work on something that's a baragba. I'm Rav Nachman, it's like, no, that's not what it means. Let's studen katani. It's saying, depending on the item, there are two ways to be konet, depending what the item is. Midi debar agba bagba. If the item is something that's liftable, you should lift it. Midi debar meshicha b'meshicha. If it's something that's not to be lifted, it's something that's meant to be dragged, so then you drag it. That's all it's saying. It says, Tosus on the bottom, Temel Rashba, Milo Mukilo Bekelim Shein Darkan Lagbia, Shegam Hein Niknin Bahagba. Right, that's what I was referring to before. That the Rashba asked, why don't we say we're dealing with kelim that are derech limshach, that the derech is to do mashicha on them, and hagbah works on them also. So that's what it's talking about, that you can do mashicha or hagbah. Because we're talking about things that are the derech to be moshech. And Tosfos assuming like the Rashbam, that hagbah is a super kinyan, that it works even on things that mashicha is the normal. Like we said before, about items that are heavy enough that they need a strap. And yet over there we still spoke about doing a hagbah on it. So we see clearly that hagbah works even on things that are not the derech to do hagbah, that the derech is to do a meshicha. Still we're going to see that the hagbah is going to work. It's interesting, the Rambam, by Gornif Kispa Shabbos, the Rambam says, your patamar at shlumin, because this is Shabbos, this is Geneva, and Hezek are ban ka'achas. And the Rambam leaves out the detail that we're talking about a kis gadol that's darko b'mashicha. Even though the Gemara says explicitly that's what we're talking about, that it's a large enough kis that it's darko b'mashicha, the Rambam says, megar v'yotze. So comes the two chivim come at the same time, and therefore your patamar on the Geneva. So that's an interesting Rambam, and when you learn a little more B'iyun, you got to try to figure out what the pshat is in that Rambam. Okay, says the Gemara, Tashma. If a person is moshech peres l'chavero, so he does a meshicha and he doesn't do a medida, he's kone. He does a meshicha, he doesn't measure it out, he's kone. V'peros t'bnei agba ninhu. But aren't peros things that are liftable? V'katani d'kani b'meshicha. Nevertheless, we see that meshicha works. So again, another raya that meshicha is going to work even on something that's a bar hagba. So says more, no. Hachamay eskinan b'shlifi rav ravi. We're dealing with very large bundles. And since we're dealing with large bundles, it's not the derech to be magdia these items. We're talking about things that are the derech to be mosheich. Fracta Gemara, Ihachi Ema Seifa, Halokeach Pishtan Mechavero, when the Seifa goes on and says, let's say it's not Peros, let's say it's Pishtan, the Seifa says, Hareze Lokana, Achi Italtalenu mi Makom Zel Makom Acher. So you're only going to be Kona when you are metaltled from one place to another. Wait a second. If you're going to tell me that the Reisha was talking about very large bundles of fruits, why should we assume that the Sefer is not also talking about very large bundles of Pishtan? What, you think you don't make large bundles of Pishtan? Sure you do. So why do we assume that you're not going to be Kona until you're Magbia? If it's large bundles, you should be able to do a Meshicha. So don't tell me we're only talking about large bundles. Says Gemara, no, you have to be Mechalik. Shiny Pishtan to Mishtamit. It's not normal to make large bundles of Pishtan. It's normal to make large bundles of regular peros, of wheat or whatever. Pishtan is very slippery, apparently. That's how the Rosh Rabbeinu says. Pishtan is very slippery. If you make a large bundle, you keep on dropping it. So that's why we say when you're dealing with Pishtan, you need to do Agbah. When you're dealing with things that aren't Pishtan, you don't need to do Agbah. You could just do a Meshicha because it's so large that you're going to be schlepping it. Amalei Ravina Ravashi Tashma, another Raya. Behemagasa Niknas B'Mesira V'Adaka B'Agbah. And then Rav Shakti used to say that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's Chasen Torah was on Behemagasa Niknas B'Mesira. Nothing, he didn't mean anything by it. It was just that was the sugi he happened to have been learning at the time. So that's what he said over as Chasen Torah. Behem Adaka Gasa is Niknas B'Mesira, and Adaka is Niknas B'Agbah Divrei Meir. So a large animal, you need to, a Mesira, just giving over the reins of the animal, is enough for a Kenyan. And for a smaller animal, you pick it up. That's Rav Meir Shita and Rav Shimon Elazar Shita. V'cham Omrim, V'cham say no. Behem Adaka B'Meshicha, a smaller animal, you can be Moshech. Right? I frak the Gemara, Val Behemadaka Dabar Hagbahu, Vikatani Dakani Bimashicha. But isn't a Behemadaka something that is able to be lifted? And still, you say that you're Kona Bimashicha, so don't you see, even items that can be lifted, you're Kona Bimashicha? Says Gemara, no, shiny Behema to Sircha. And yes, a small animal is light enough to be lifted, but if you ever try to hold a baby that doesn't like you, like a 1-year-old or a 2-year-old that doesn't want you to lift them, so they squirm in and it's very hard to hang on to them because they're trying to get out of your hands and you could drop them. So the same is true of Behemadaka. It squirms around, it moves, and it's very difficult to lift and hold in that way. So therefore, you can do a Meshicha. Rav Shmuel Darmit Tavai, Korbis Shlosh, you know what? We'll stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow from Rav and Shmuel. And we'll pick up tomorrow from Rav and Shmuel.